All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, that was a good one. Like kids, I always have to go through a couple times before they say good morning. So usually it's like by section. And when they finally go, oh, yeah, Pastor Jordan's talking to me, then they say good morning. So thank you for that nice warm welcome. I want to talk to you just for a few moments about something very strong in my heart. And I want to start off by saying this. Remember the saying, my dad can beat up your dad. You remember hearing that all the time? I remember saying that all the time. Be like, my dad can beat up your dad. I don't care what he looks like. I don't care how big he is. My dad can beat up your dad. Right? You'd have these competitions with each other, especially boys. Boys were the worst at that, right? It doesn't matter how old you are. I've even had comments where like even an adult can say that. You're like, my dad can still beat up your dad, right? And it goes on and on and on. And I want to talk to you about that because my dad was a big dude. He was one that I probably could take some other dads. I'm not just saying that. But what I wanted to say is because today I want to talk about how God is our protector. And my dad was my protector. He was an awesome dad. He was one that was had a gentle spirit, but it was always ready to joke around. And he loved his kids. I actually just read this note my mom showed me when he was working in a car dealership. And it actually said, just how much he loved his kids, is that he said, I actually had to leave this job, and it was his resignation letter, and say, I have to go to another job because I don't have time with my kids, and I don't want to be a stranger to them. And it was awesome to see that. I've never seen this note ever, and it was pretty impactful to me to see that my dad loved his four boys so much. And so, yeah, a couple of things I want to share with you just that... from my dad is that my dad, like I said, was a pretty strong dude. He was, I have three brothers, two older brothers, one younger brother. And I remember many times where he would be carrying myself and my younger brother on his arms and my two older brothers on his legs. And he'd be like, doo, 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 just walking around. And that was normal for him because we were like, yeah, he's big. We can hold on to him. And so he was a great dad, a very strong dad. And, I just remember so many times growing up and just going, this is my dad. He is my superhero. He is my protector. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to fear. I know that I am very confident saying my dad can beat up your dad, right? It was something that was a lot of fun to joke around with kids. But another moment that I have with my dad that I loved, that just when I felt very protected, is when we'd watch movies, it didn't matter if it was a scary movie or whatever. We had so much, not so much seating, because there's four boys and my dad, and we didn't have like a ton of furniture growing up. We didn't have a lot of money. And I remember watching movies from the VCR that we rented. Yeah, well, I'm going way back. VCRs, love them. But I remember sitting on the floor and my dad would sit in his comfy chair. And I remember sitting on the floor, and I would sit between his legs, and his legs would be there, and I'd wrap my arms around them. I would show you how it is and bring Pastor Nick up here, but I think he's already been scarred enough last week, so I won't continue. He's giving me a weird look. I'm going to look away. All right, so I'm going to talk to you the rest of the service like this. But I would watch movies with my arms around his legs because I was like, I was so safe. I was protected, and I knew that nothing was going to happen. And the last moment I want to share with you is there was a moment where, like renting movies, we would be that's what they used to do for us. I do remember renting movies. I remember going to go rent a movie with my dad, and in the freezing cold, we decided to walk. And we were like, let's go for a walk. And it was just me and him. It was not my other brothers, and it was just me and him. And it was one of the most special times for me. It was one of the moments where I'm like, this is my dad. I'm going to be so safe. I don't have to worry about wolves. I don't have to worry about anyone jumping out. I don't have to worry about the ice because my dad's got me, right? And so I remember walking with him and not me holding his hand, but him holding my hand because that's how he was. He was the kind of dad that made sure that he had his boys and he loved his boys very much. He protected us so much. And when I was 10, and I've told this story a few times before, when I was 10, my dad passed away.
He was working. He worked with refrigeration, air conditioning in his later years, and he fell from a ship's ladder that was on the side of the building, and it came loose. It was old and rickety, and it came loose, and he was in a coma for about 10 days and passed away on the New Year's Eve morning. And Christmas was turned upside down. My life was turned upside down, and my whole family's was turned upside down. And I just remember moments where I want to be sad, and there's moments where I want to be angry, and I want to point blame to something, but I couldn't. See, the thing that you didn't know about my dad is that he loved Jesus. He loved God so much. And there was many times where I would come downstairs on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning when he had his day off, and I would catch him sitting at the dining room table reading his Bible. I knew from there, I would always ask him, "What are you reading?" And he would tell me. And I knew that there was such a passion for what he was reading, because he could be sleeping in. He could have done something totally different. He could have been watching TV, yet he was reading his word. That stuck with me. That knew that there was something bigger in his life that protected him. And so when he passed away, I like I said, I could have threw blame. I could have threw whatever out the door. I could have said no to God at all. But I knew God was still going to protect me through this. I knew that God still had my back through whatever I had to face. Because what was awesome is my mom would always come to me and open her Bible and share with what God's doing in her life. And I knew that she would tell me stories about where they had nothing, yet God still provided for them. And I knew that God was my ultimate protector. I knew that my dad just pointed me in the right direction. It reminds me of the story of David and Goliath. That story where a young man faced off against a giant. And you see this incredible boldness, this overwhelming faith in his life to not even be afraid at all. That he stands up. He doesn't care what he needs. He's just going to stand up to this giant. And the king offers him his armor and his sword and his helmet. Yet it's not worth it for David. David already has won the battle. He already knows how protected he is. He's already ready to face off. He doesn't need anything. His faith is what made it win. His faith was so overwhelming. And standing up against that giant, I want to read you the verses in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Because to me, when I hear this, not that I'm a David in any sense, but it reminds me of the faith level that I need every day. The faith level to carry on. The faith level to go above what I'm even expected to think I can do here. Because I have God protecting me through it all. His words in verses 45 to 47, his words before he even does any fighting at all. And he knows that Goliath has ripped him apart with his words and tried to call him a dog. And he's like, this is worthless to fight this battle. But then David steps up and he says these words: "You are coming to fight against me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord who rules over all. He is the God of the armies of Israel. He is the one you have dared to fight against. This day the Lord will give me the victory over you. I'll strike you down. I'll cut your head off. This day I'll feed the bodies of the Philistine army to the birds and wild animals. Then the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. The Lord doesn't rescue people by using a sword or a spear, and everyone here will know it. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he will hand all of you over to us." Wow. David's words are so strong. They're so faith-filled. He knows that whatever he was going to face, that he was protected. And in fact, he's already won. And see, in many times of my life, I used to think my dad was going to be my protector through all these different things I would face. But because he pointed me in the right direction, my faith level was able to increase. And so I've had moments where I was in danger and I could have fought back, I could have done something else, but instead I was praying. I was saying, my faith has to be stronger. There was a moment where I was almost mugged and could have got beaten up or whatever. Who knows what could have happened? The first thing that came to my mind was to start praying. Start allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through me. There have been moments where I felt like I wasn't big enough or I wasn't strong enough, and God still provided for me. God still said, hey, I'll get you through this. See, I know that God protects me from my fears. And he has the power to overcome any situation. He has the strength to defeat the enemy, to love and keep safe what he loves, to shield me from danger, to step in when I don't have the ability to, because he doesn't need a sword. He doesn't need no spear. He has no use of any weapon whatsoever. He is never concerned with defeat. He is always ready to display his victory, because he is the Lord Most High. He is the King of Kings. And I know that every situation that I'm going to face, that I have to step into, I know that God is going to protect me through it. And so my heart is that I would share that with boys and girls. See, because I know the world that we live in is not what we expected it to be 20, 30 years ago. That's a very, very, very different world. But if I can help show that same faith to boys and girls every Sunday, every Wednesday, even through different types of social media, if I can say, look, boys and girls, if you have faith like David, if you have faith that I've even been able to get through situations where I've lost my own dad, that I can still stand in front of this church and say, my God still reigns today, then I know that God's going to provide, he's going to protect, he's going to cover me with everything he's got. So that's my heart this morning. Thank you for allowing me to share. And now we have Pastor Nick. And I won't make this awkward, Pastor Nick. I promise I will just let you just give it up for Pastor Nick this morning.
Well, now I can finally have some payback from last week now that I have the mic. So, you know, being humiliated, being put on the floor, almost kissed upon by a man who's probably triple my weight. And later that night, he kisses my feet. Like, I'm not a toucher. So, Pastor Jeff, can I have you? I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Love you. Anyways, so this Father's Day, we as Pastor Jordan, Steve, and I were talking about how our earthly fathers are related to God the Father, and just our stories on how that's all connected. So I'm going to open up and just talk about my relationship with my father. Growing up, I did not have the best relationship with my dad. To be honest, my dad was never really involved in my life. He is still alive today. He does live in Ottawa, and we are on that path of just rekindling our relationship. But growing up, I did not have the best relationship at all with him. And to be honest, I was very bitter towards him. When I was in grade 9 or 10, my parents had a divorce. And to be honest, some kids, it would definitely rock them. But to me, it didn't really matter too much to me. It didn't really have too much of an effect on me. The reason why was because I was just, I actually looked at it like, thank goodness he's finally gone. And I just had this bitterness towards him. The reason why was growing up, he was just never really involved in my life. He was never really at the sporting events, the awards, and stuff like that. And being the oldest of three brothers, I was the one that was kind of being like the man in the house, you know, trying to defend my mom and just look after my brothers and stuff like that. And, you know, I had this bitterness towards him, and it carried with me for a long, long time. And so it definitely did not rock me. But I'm thankful today that we serve a God who is the provider. That though it didn't matter to me, though I didn't recognize the need for my father, God was still recognizing that there is value in being having that fatherly role model in your life. God was providing mentors in my life, spiritual role models in my life, spiritual brothers in my life who would be walking with me, supporting me, encouraging me when I didn't know how to do some guy stuff like you know, cut bricks or do any other sort of stuff. I had spiritual mentors who were showing me the way, showing me what it means to be a man of God. And I am thankful that God is the provider. He is always providing so many opportunities, people in our lives, to fulfill our future. He is forming our future. God is doing that. And if I was to put my message into just one line, so if you're into taking notes, this is my main point, this is my whole line, the whole story just summarized into one line. It would be, as we prepare for the present, God is forming our future. As we prepare for the present, God is forming our future. Your situation that you're in right now, you may not think it matters at all. You may not think, I don't care about that. Man, I'm going through such a hard time right now. You need to know that God is already, he is 3, 4, 10,000 steps ahead. He is forming your future. He is providing people in your life. He is building up your skills. He is doing something in your life. He is forming your future. What you think you're lacking, God is actually making a way. He recognizes that. He sees you. He knows what you're going through. He is providing for you. And what I love about that is that it's all in Scripture. I got this whole message from the Bible. It's so good, so great. What I see in Scripture is the Israelites, and they were in the desert for 40 years, and just walking around, just like, man, they should be celebrating. Like, I just got set free from Egypt slavery. Like, this is the good life. We're just walking around, you know, they're free. But yet they were still grumbling. They were not quite satisfied. They were looking at their current situation, forgetting about the God who called them, forgetting about the God who promised them that they're going to the promised land. But they were grumbling. They were like, man, we are starving. Like, what's the point of being here right now? Like, did you just bring us out here to die, Moses? Like, what's the point of all this? And thankfully, we have a God who is still providing. And all of a sudden, the manna comes down. Krispy Kreme donuts start falling from the sky. Like, it is just so good. These Krispy Kreme donuts, sorry, we're Canadian. Tim Hortons, Boston Creams. They're just falling from the sky, you know? And he's providing for them. It's not just there. In the book of Judges, we see this cycle through the Israelites. They're worshiping other gods. They're being defeated. And all of a sudden, they're like, okay, God, you've called us. We're crying out to you. Provide for us. And all of a sudden, God provides a judge. He brings them in. Victory comes. But then the judge passes away, and then they go through this cycle all over again. They're worshiping these other Baals. And all of a sudden, they cry out to God. God brings the judge. He provides. They go through victory, and then they're defeated again. They go through this cycle and cycle, but God is still providing because he remembers that promise. He is faithful to his word. He is faithful to that. And the greatest example of all, what I love, I get excited about this. We are a part of God's master story. We are in this book. The Bible is to be continued. It isn't completed yet. We are going to be coming. Jesus is coming down. But from the very beginning, sin entered the world. In our current situation, humanity, we weren't satisfied. We were looking at our current situation. Then sin entered the world. And God said, I'm not done with you yet. I still have a plan for you. I'm still working in you. And then many years later, 2,000 years later, Jesus comes. Jesus enters the world. And then there is that provide. He provided the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be in relationship with us. What we lack, what we focus on right now, God is already saying, I got you covered. I'm looking at you. As we prepare for the present, God is forming our future. What you're looking at, I don't know what you guys are facing right now, but some of you guys may have had a really hard week. Some of you just don't know how you're going to pay the bills. Some of you guys don't even know how you're going to bring food to the table this week. But I'm here to tell you that God will provide. God knows your future. He is not done with you yet. As we prepare for the present, God is forming our future. He is working with you. He is not done with you yet. He has an amazing future for you. As we prepare for the present, God is forming our future. I am thankful when I finally had those spiritual mentors pouring into me, spiritual brothers encouraging me. I was reminded of just praying one day and just praying to God and saying, God, will you give me such a heart for the lost? Will you continue to remind me, help me to love people, God, to love the brokenhearted? And immediately God reminded me of my father. He reminded me of that relationship with him and just reminding me that, You know, like, you're going through so much. He may have hurt you in so many ways, but the brokenness that you may feel inside is nothing compared to what he's going through right now. And I was reminded that I know my future. God has provided for me spiritual brothers, spiritual mentors, and most importantly, he has loved me. God has been there from day one. He is working with me. He has shown me that unconditional love, that amazing grace, and that he is so proud of me. I know that, and he is proud of you. But in that moment, I was reminded that the pain my dad is going through is so much greater than what I may have experienced. I know my future. I know where I'm going to be ending up. And God just broke my heart in that moment. And I just began to cry and just say, God, help me to love him more. Help me to forgive him. And in that moment, I did forgive him. Christmas came by, and I said, you know what, God, I am putting this to the test. I'm going to show him how much I love him, because I believe that he needs to experience your love. I believe it will change his life. And so then Christmas came, and I wrote this amazing letter, handwritten myself, and I wrote it, and I said, Dad, like, I love you. I love you so much. And you mean the world to me, and I forgive you. And I want you to know that I want to make this day that when we move forward, we can remember this moment and realize we can rekindle this relationship. I am so proud of you. I am so proud that you're changing, that you're taking time to just read this letter. I love you so much, Dad. And I'm proud to say that in a couple weeks, we're going on a father-son fishing trip. I am really excited for that. And earlier this fall, when I had the opportunity to preach, my dad was sitting right there supporting me, believing in me. And it meant the world to me, knowing that I have a father who is there for me. He is there for me. And I called him today. I said, Happy Father's Day. And I'm really excited for this fishing trip. I'm pumped up for it. I want to close with this and remind you guys that as we prepare for the present, God is forming our future. He is the provider. He will provide for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, can I call up Pastor Steve?
Nobody looking around. We'll continue. Nobody looking around, because I'm going to do some house cleaning here. All right, so how's everybody doing? I was trying to put a summary on what Father's Day is, and I heard a little boy say, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day. It's the exact same thing, only you don't have to spend as much on the gift. So it's pretty true. I love it. It's not true, though, right? No, amen, amen. I received that. Who else knows what today is other than Father's Day? Anybody else? Any golf fans in the house? It's the U.S. Open, the United States Open Championship Day. The champion will be crowned. The champion will be crowned. I hope it's Ricky Fowler. Yes, amen. I received that again. I hope it is. Except there could be one thing that could happen. It might be given away tomorrow if there is a tie. It is the only championship in golf where, if there's a tie, they actually play 18 holes tomorrow. And then they play 18 holes, and whoever wins, wins. It's going to be Ricky Fowler. I believe that. I'm praying that. I know you're going to believe with me this morning. So I grew up in a pastor's home in the day where we did have Sunday evening service. And, you know, every Sunday night we would be there. We'd drive in, go to church. And we would always miss Sunday rounds of golf. I'm a big golf fan. I love golf. But my dad, he was like the biggest golf fan in the world. We always missed the last round. Except this one year, right? This one year, it became a tie. It was going to be decided the very next day, Monday. My dad was over the moon excited. He was so thrilled that he was actually going to see the end of a golf championship. He would miss the Masters. He would miss the U.S. Open. He would miss the PGA. Normally saw the British Open because it's in Britain. So it was a tie. It was the back nine on Monday. my brain starts, I didn't like golf at that time. I was a little bit bored. So I was like, I'm going to go outside. My parents had given me these brand new red shoes. They were the most amazing shoes that you have ever seen in your life. We lived on a hill. It was a former logging hill. It was called Logging Road. Very, very steep hill. And what happened was, is I said, oh, there's my brother's skateboard. I have an awesome idea. With these red shoes, I am absolutely invincible. Nobody can touch me. Nobody can hurt me. I felt protected, Pastor Nick. I really did. Put on my red shoes, go to the top of the hill. I can hear the surf music. Nah, 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 nah. You know, I could feel this vibe that was going through me. So I started down the hill. I was a really cute kid, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. I had like these blonde curly ringlets, big blue eyes, big eyelashes, like the cutest kid you've ever seen, other than my kids, of course. Wind was blowing through my hair. Until I hit that storm drain. I'm telling you, it was an Olympic event for that moment. I did 3 flips, a half twist, and landed on my arm. The bone was literally like coming out of my arm. But it was the back 9 of the US Open on Monday. My dad was super excited until he gets that. Michael? We have an accident. My dad comes running down, and guess what he missed? The U.S. Open. I don't know why I told that story. There's absolutely no relevance to my message, but I just figured it was a good story. He missed the U.S. Open, and he actually never let me forget that moment. See, my dad and myself were very big baseball fans. We liked baseball. I liked it a lot more than he did. He thought it was pretty slow, but I'm like, Dad, you watch golf. So we were big baseball fans, and I would watch pretty much every game of the year. And, you know, I was 6 years old, and my friends would come calling. I'm like, no, the Blue Jays are on. I can't go. I'm the little introvert kid in my basement watching baseball. So one summer vacation, my dad decided to take us to Cooperstown, New York. Anybody know what's in Cooperstown, New York? The Baseball Hall of Fame. We went to the Baseball Hall of Fame. It was such a great day. It was the day after Mickey Mantle actually passed away, and they had all these big celebrations. An amazing day. See, my dad was always the one that knew the directions. He was always the shepherd, the pastor in our lives. He knew the directions, and he always knew how to get there. We got to the Baseball Hall of Fame okay. There was no problem. Parked the car, and here's where the problem starts. We had to take a trolley. Ding, ding, we had to take the trolley. It was so cool. I was so excited. So we buy our tickets for the trolley. We buy these tickets, and my dad has this, like, concerned look on his face. This is a big place. There's lots of cars. There's thousands of cars. The trolley pulls up, and my dad says to the driver, he says, sir, does the trolley come back here? The man looks at him, and he says, sir, you can ride the trolley all day, and you can go to any stop that you want. My dad thought about it for a moment. He said, no, 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 that's not what I want to know. Does the trolley come back here to this spot? The driver looks at him a little bit frustrated, and he says, sir, you can ride all day, and you can get off on any stop that you want. My dad had a little bit of block in his mind right at that moment. He wanted to know that the stop was going to stop at this very spot. So he says, sir, you are not understanding my question. Does the trolley come back here? By this time, there was about 6 people hanging out the windows. Sir, the trolley stops here. My dad did his very best to always make sure he knew that we were going. He wanted to know exactly where we were going. See, this little thing, this little story, taught me 2 things about my dad, is that he would not let up until he knew exactly what he wanted to hear. My dad wasn't hearing, you can get off at the trolley at this very stop. No, he was hearing, you can go anywhere, all day, every day. It's the happiest place on earth. And 2, that he would always do his best to guide us, both physically and spiritually. You see, I grew up in a pastor's home. Yep, I was a PK. Woo! I know most of you are thinking, yes, I was that child. I was that pastor's kid. See, my only saving grace was that I wasn't an MK, missionary's kids. They're the worst. I mean, seriously, I have family that are missionaries' kids, and they're like on a whole nother level. See, two things were very clear in my home is, one, we weren't MKs. And number two, you're supposed to laugh at that moment, missionaries' kids. And number two is that my dad was first and foremost my pastor, my shepherd, and my leader. And he did it without apology. See, as wonderful as my pastors, my children's workers, my church, my youth director was, my dad considered my spiritual health and the spiritual health of my family to be his responsibility. See, there's an epidemic in our church today that we have placed the responsibility of the spiritual well-being of our children to the office of a professional pastor, a YouTube celebrity, or an inspirational Instagram post. Dads, moms, parents, grandparents, these are wonderful resources, and we should use these resources. But your kids, my kids, our families are not their responsibility. They're my responsibility. My kids, the spiritual well-being of my kids is my responsibility. Let's step up, pass on the spiritual heritage. All right, I digress big time. Here are some really practical ways that my dad showed me that he was my pastor, my leader, my shepherd. We lived in Halifax, we lived in Lower Sackville, Nova Scotia, and my dad pastored in Halifax, Nova Scotia, which was about a 30-minute drive. And you know, my dad would never miss supper. He was home for every single supper time. So if that meant, if he had a Tuesday night program or a Thursday night program, he would drive home, eat supper with us, shove his face full of food, and then drive back. He'd drive that hour and 15 minutes. He was committed to the love of our family and to our family unit as a whole. He would do the best to be there for our childhood events. He would sacrifice for us. I remember when my dad was voted in as the lead pastor in Kingston, Ontario. He actually said to them, there was a question, and he said to them, you know, there will be a couple Tuesday nights a year of Bible study that I'll miss. There'll be times when I won't be here. Why? Because if my son has a concert at his school, it's my priority to be there for my son. You are my second priority. My family is my first. There were family vacations. Let me tell you, we weren't poor, but we didn't have a lot of money growing up. Family vacations were always that time where we would just go away for 6 weeks in the summer sometimes, and we would just be together as a family. My dad would sacrifice for those moments. See, he used these really practical things, but there was also some impractical, or shall I say non-conventional things that he showed us what a pastor was. See, the most important thing that he modeled to us was his commitment to Jesus and his love for the church. They go hand in hand. See, you can't love Jesus and not love the church. You must love Jesus and love his church. It's not perfect, warts and all, but we love that. See, my dad was a man of faith. He, before any of us kids were here, he was a high school teacher. He went to, should have wrote this down, what university? He went to Mount A University. And thanks, Mom. And he had his teacher's certificate teaching degree. And he was teaching at Moncton High. He was teaching English, and he loved it. He was teaching English Lit, loved it, until he felt a call on his life. A call on his life to enter full-time ministry. See, my mom was expecting my big sister, Joyce. My big sister, don't tell her I said that. That sounded bad. But he knew that he had this call on his life. So what did he do? He said, Lord, I believe you're calling me. So I am going to step away from my job and see what you have in store. So what did he do? He went to Back a Row. Oh, yeah, Back a Row. That's the glory church right there. He went there, back row, for $50 a week and all the fish that you could eat. See, the world's perspective for a move like that, that he was probably being negligent, but not being able to provide us with the material things in the future that we needed. But he was more concerned about providing a lasting spiritual heritage, and he viewed that as far more important, that my spiritual well-being was looked after, that I had a dad, I had a pastor that obeyed the call and the voice of God. See, he understood Ephesians 5:22, and I like the way that Eugene Peterson puts this in the message. He says, the husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church. Not by domineering, but by cherishing. This passage, I know, is an extremely controversial passage, especially in our world today. But I think it's controversial because we don't really understand what this passage is saying. We take it out of context and we use it only for marriage and only for family. See, Paul had a literary technique called chasm here. And I'm not going to show it to you because I'm not a teacher like my dad. But he would use the structure of his writings to point out one theme and one point that would be drilled in over and over and over again. And here's what the point was. The point was not necessarily about marriage, not necessarily about family, but it is all about Christ and the church. The point that he is highlighting is that Jesus wants to sanctify the church and present to himself the glory in all, the church in all her glory. So my dad understood the context of all of this. He wanted us to encounter the sanctifying power of Jesus and not just enjoy the organization of the church. He wanted us to recognize Jesus in all of his glory. He understood his role in all of that. Peter says this in 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up special sacrifice acceptable to God through Christ. And then he continued in a couple verses later. And we all know this one. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his special people, that you might proclaim the praise to him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Pastor Jeff spoke about it maybe 2 months ago, that we are in the priesthood of all believers, man, woman, boys, girls, not just clergy, but everyone. We are all priests. So, this morning, if you're a single mom, you're in the royal priesthood. You are in God's priesthood. This is not just for dads. I know we're focusing on our fathers today and stuff that our fathers have poured into us, but this message is for everyone about God our Father. Single mom, don't diminish who you are. When tough times come, teach your children about Christ and let him sanctify you and your children. Jesus wants to reveal who he is to all people. To all people, with no exceptions. Here's the best news, though. While I believe in a royal priesthood, I believe that we have a high priest who is our good shepherd, our good pastor, if you might. Jess, I'm going to ask you to come up right now. I caught you. We have a good shepherd, a good pastor. We know this so very well. It's Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, or the Lord is my pastor, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. You are my rod and my staff, and they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, the nuclear family, that traditional family is really under attack these days. And I'm not going to go into all of that. I don't know what your situation might be. I don't know if you have a dad present in your life or if you don't. Frankly, for this point, it doesn't matter. Here's what matters is that we have a good shepherd. We have a good pastor. We have a good father who is looking after us. And God's feelings towards us are that he knows us and that he provides for us, like Pastor Nick talks about. He restores us. He guides us. He protects us. He comforts us. And he even exalts us when our enemies are present. Dads, let's do that for our kids, can't we? Let's know our kids. Let's provide for our kids. Let's restore our kids when they fall. Let's guide our kids. Let's protect our kids. And let's comfort our kids. And let's exalt our kids. It's so important to do. God has modeled this to us, and we must model this to our children. We serve a good, good father. Amen.
Hey, just before we invite our dads, Romans 8, 35, 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Our Lord. No matter whether or not you can relate to all the stories these three guys just shared, as the protector, the provider, the pastor, I want to tell you that your Heavenly Father loves you more than you could ever understand. He's a good, good Father. Jesus, one of the greatest blessings you ever gave to humanity was dads. And I thank you for the dads that are in this place. God, it's incredible to see all these kids running through this building. And God, you've provided for them dads. And I pray today that your favor will rest upon our dads. For every unknown seed that they've planted, for every unknown task that they've accomplished, every sacrifice they've made, God, I pray you would reward them. I pray you'd bless them. I pray that their kids would appreciate what they've done. And that they would see in their dads the father that was just described by our three pastors. I pray these dads would be the protector. I pray these dads would be the provider. And Lord, let these dads be the pastor in their homes. Even if their kids are outside of the home now, have grown up and moved on, allow them to continue to be that spiritual guide. Father, I pray that you would speak life into each of these dads. And no matter what stage they're at with their kids, I pray that you would give them incredible wisdom as they continue to guide their children. Father, let them know your love, the love of the Father. And I pray incredible blessings upon them now. We are so thankful for the fathers of CPC. Now, would you bless these dads, bless this congregation as we leave this morning? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.